Transfer season is here. Transfer Tuesday on the Podcast Daily is now. That is Bill Landis. I am Austin Ward. And it's the worst time of year, Bill.
It's not as bad as the early window because it is only 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like having to wait basically a month to see who might jump in is a little worse than now. So I actually don't mind this one. This portal actually makes sense. The portal window makes sense to me, like coming off of spring ball. It is weird that it's in April and not in May because, like, Michigan's playing its spring game this weekend. I think Washington's spring game is like the first weekend of May, so I don't exactly know how you navigate
it. Oregon just started last week, right?
Yeah, I don't know how you navigate that if you're not a team like Ohio State that just wrapped up spring ball. So it probably should be pushed back, but I do like a short post-spring ball window when rosters start to shake out and guys kind of figure out where they are in the depth chart.
It just seems, again, player movement, NIL, opportunities, all that, fully in favor of it. This, to me, is a reminder of why collective bargaining and contracts need to exist. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have this in NFL after training camp. It's like, well, you know what? Here's how the position battle shook out. Now we're going to get somebody else out. Like, you can cut somebody, but your options aren't just, like, anyone in the sport.
Right. Yeah, that's not really how it works. And also, too, like, there will be, I'm not saying this about Ohio State, I'm just saying generally, there will be guys who just transferred who are going to transfer again. Like, that to me is a little insane.
Yeah, I mean, we already saw that happen. The Caden Proctor one, I think, has got to be his situation, if you're not familiar, from Alabama to Iowa and then back to, I believe, going to be Alabama again. Alabama. I don't think he said publicly or was allowed to because he couldn't go right back into the portal till it opens today, but his intentions were there. I thought that was going to be the warning signal to the rest of the NCAA or federal legislators, I don't know, anybody that's like, you know what?
The FBI.
We don't really like the way that worked out.
Yeah.
And let's do something about it.
That's not ideal. Like that, I mean, as someone who is in favor of, you know, player movement and autonomy, that feels like a little much. Like, I don't think that you should have quite that much freedom to just do whatever the heck you want. But at the moment, they're allowed to because the NCAA has just kind of thrown its hands up and also gets pummeled in court every time it tries not to throw its hands up. So,
well, yeah, that's the other part. I think there have been people that have asked us about this on subtext and on the message board at ohiostate.rivals.com. It's like, well, these people have already transferred once. How can they do it again? Well, currently, there's a temporary restraining order against the NCAA from enforcing its own rules. Like, right now, there are no rules. Like, you can transfer as many times as you want because of this getting slapped down by the courts. Like, it's not been for lack of effort, but the NCAA has become powerless because they won't take the one step that they need to take, which is considering them employees. And I know that there are a million other hurdles that, like, we don't even have to get into all that. It would be a waste of time, probably, to do so. But, like, there's resistance and logistics that has to be worked out, and the sooner the better, because this is not a sustainable model. Even if this 2 week window is more manageable and you're not as upset about this happening all the time as maybe I'm getting to be or the point of frustration, like, they're not even looking for solutions to me, it doesn't feel like.
No, because to your point, the pathway to solutions is to drastically change the amateur athletics model to the point where basically it doesn't exist anymore, at least not for football and probably not for men's and women's basketball either. And then there's ramifications beyond that. Like, I don't think either one of us are sitting here saying, like, just do it. Like, it's easy. Like, it's because we know that it's not, but it's going to have to happen, I would think. And I don't know where it needs to start. Like, we always say the NCAA is, for all intents and purposes, the schools. So, mm-hmm. like, it has to probably start from that side of things before the NCAA like, ever tries to do anything. And that takes you down the road, I think, of, like, you know, college football commissioner conversations and probably be breaking off the, I don't know, top 30 or 40 programs in the sport who operate differently from the rest of them, even at the FBS level. Like, there's a lot of steps, I think, that you have to take to get to the point where this starts to make sense. And I think we will get there, but at the moment it's, you know, stuck in neutral like most things.
All right, so all you can do then if you're Ohio State is manage the situation that's in front of you, and the next 2 weeks could be plenty interesting. That started already for them last week when Dallin Hayden informed Ohio State that he was going to be entering the transfer portal, so did not participate in the final week of camp with the Buckeyes. So that was number one there. There's going to be more. I don't know how many. We're not going to speculate on individual player decisions. Berm has said that number could be over 7.5. he's probably right. We'll see what happens in the 2 weeks ahead. The thing that makes it so difficult is that you never know what the individual decision is ultimately going to come down to. It is not always just like, well, here I am on the depth chart. I may not play this season. I'm out of here. Like, players do like playing for Ohio State. They like living in Columbus. They may have NIL deals even if they aren't playing a great amount right now. Like, there are a dozen factors that are going to play into this decision-making process for those guys. Now, are there going to be people sliding in there with bigger offers to leave? Of course there are.
Yeah.
And so to pretend like we know every individual decision and what's motivating all those individuals would be folly. But that amount is probably going to be normal for Ohio State moving forward, 7 to 8 guys in the transfer portal. And after reevaluating and going through spring camp and seeing where they stand and where they could stand elsewhere, like, that's probably the right amount.
Yeah, that probably feels right. I might take an under on a 7.5. I don't know. That's probably foolish given the current climate of college athletics. Maybe you always take the over as long as the over is like under 10 when a transfer portal window opens. So we'll see. Like, the thing that there's a couple of things that are interesting, I think, with Ohio State. When I say this, I'm not trying to, like, you know, foment something that's not real or get alarm bells going off for people, but like, Ohio State was more aggressive adding people this offseason, I think, than it ever has been. I think that's a fact. So I wonder how that might change the thought process of guys currently on the roster. If they think, like, maybe before you think to yourself, like, well, Ohio State doesn't do that. You know, I don't love the spot I'm in, but maybe I have an opportunity to better my positioning. Like, maybe you think differently about that because Ohio State now has shown more of a willingness to be aggressive bringing guys in. And then the other thing, too, is Ryan Day, like, is talking to us, and I think intentionally, about how much depth they're going to have to play this year with a longer season and an expanded playoff, and Ohio State, you know, wanting to accomplish all of its goals, is going to have to play a lot of football. But it's also a program that, frankly, hasn't played a ton of depth. So, like, you have to sort of, I don't know, give the benefit of the doubt, I guess, of, like, if you're a guy in a position where you think, like, I might want to transfer, and Ohio State says to you, like, well, don't transfer, you're going to play more this year because the season's different, the dynamics are different. It's like, that requires a certain amount of trust, I think, that maybe the staff has not necessarily earned just because it doesn't play a lot of guys. And I'm not saying that's good, bad, or different. It's just, like, the way it is. Like, yeah, they just haven't played a lot of guys. So I'm wondering how those two sort of different conversations might impact some guys' decisions, and maybe that makes the number slightly higher than what we're anticipating. And I'm not talking about, like, starters, obviously. I'm just talking about, like, young guys, older depth guys. If last year they would have made the decision to stay, the changing dynamics of things maybe push them in the other direction this time around. I don't know.
It felt like throughout spring, through those 15 practices, that now this happens every year in every practice. I'm not saying it was dramatically different than others that I've seen, but it, especially at quarterback, which is where most eyes go immediately, and then also on the offensive line, and then to some extent with the linebackers and in the secondary, like, there were all these positions where it felt like Ohio State was rotating more with opportunities at the top of the depth chart. And some of that is because you have veterans like Denzel Burke not needing to take every snap in spring, JT Tuimola and Jack Sawyer not needing to be out there. But, like, I feel like where you make the most progress is when you actually get those one-on-one situations. And a bunch of younger guys got that opportunity in a way that felt different from years past. There's always been the 2,000 rep club. There's always been, you know, keeping guys healthy throughout a spring camp. But this one, the experimentation, the tinkering, the opportunities that were available did feel different to me. And whether they would reveal the exact, I know that they know all the snap counts that everybody got throughout a spring. Like, they track all of that. Whether they would reveal if that is decidedly different from years past or not, I don't know if they would do that. Or what the benefit for them would be, because I already think that they were doing it. So,
yeah, that's a good point. I think it was a start of spring too, and Ryan Day was talking like just like how many plays they got in, right? And maybe it does seem like they made an effort just to have more snaps available to guys this spring and like rotate pretty freely. I think I don't think it was you know, just like coincidence that Ryan Day a couple of times mentioned to us that the spring was not necessarily about figuring out a depth chart. It was about just everybody getting better. And I think if that's the case, then maybe if you can get enough guys thinking similarly, right? And it's human nature. Like, guys know how much they have practiced compared to how much other guys have practiced, right? You're not always going to bat 1,000 when you're trying to do it that way. But if you can get enough guys thinking that way, then maybe that protects you a little bit from, like, oh, I didn't play as much as I wanted to this spring. why would I play as much as I want to in the summer? I'm out of here.
Kind of thing. Yeah. You know? Well, we'll see. It also informs the decision of what Ohio State may need to get out of the portal. And at the risk of having a similar conversation to what we already have had when we're looking at position previews and the way that some of those battles have worked out, is there anything new on your radar that Ohio State may need? Or are you also still convinced that if there's a great starting right tackle out there, they'll probably go after that? We can start with that point.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest one, right? That's the one that everyone looks at. As we're having this conversation, I'm not aware of one being in there. Now, that'll change probably over the next couple of days. I think you just look at an offensive lineman, whether it's a tackle or a guard. I think a tackle probably makes the most sense, especially like if you think that Josh Freier can and would play guard in that scenario, which I think is the case. I also, Doug and I did the post game show after the spring game, and I probably came off a little more worried about the offensive line than I am now after rewatching the game a couple of times. Well, I rewatched it and I went back through and I was watching Will Howard. And in the course of watching Will Howard, I watched him offensive line because why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say it was awesome. Don't worry about it. But I really like what I saw at Tegra Tshabola. So it's if the staff really liked what they saw at Tegra too, then maybe you could talk yourself into Tegra's the right guard and Josh Fryer's the right tackle. I don't know. I still think just because they've been so aggressive with everything else, it would be odd to me if they weren't aggressive going after a really good offensive lineman, provided there is one available. So I think they look there. But other than that, nothing really screams at me about what they need on this roster. The idea of recruiting transfer depth to me is always a little silly because what does that mean? It's are you talking about practice bodies or are you talking about guys you think you have to convince them to be a backup with the hopes that if they have to play, they're actually good enough to play? That part of it, I think, is a hard sell for a lot of guys that probably have opportunities to go elsewhere and start. And I get Ohio State offers more than most programs, but I don't know if a good backup, I guess, for lack of a better descriptor, is something that Ohio State would necessarily bring in. But I could see them bringing in depth pieces at, I don't know, defensive end or not defensive end, tight end, maybe defensive end too, to be honest, or just defensive line in general, maybe safety. But that's I don't know, FCS guys that are okay coming to Ohio State to be a backup and perhaps even not a non-scholarship kind of player. I don't know that I'm looking at a bunch of big swings here for Ohio State outside from offensive line.
Well, the dynamic is different in this window. You have now missed spring camp, and I recognize fully that Josh Simmons was able to come in and win a starting job in this post-spring window without the benefit of camp, but that's going to be the exception for guys who can actually and a reflection of what the talent level was like as a whole in the offensive line last year. Those things had to pretty unfortunately align, or fortunately for Josh Simmons, however you want to look at it. But to go for a national title contender, how many people that could actually compete for a starting job without the benefit of going through winter workouts, without the benefit of going through spring camp, getting a playbook in May or June, and then having 25 practices with that team, how many of them could actually come in and A, be an upgrade? There's not a position on defense where I think that exists. Mm-hmm. On offense, they've already made that investment at tight end. They've already done that at running back. They did already do that on the offensive line with Seth McLaughlin. Maybe they would do it again. But this isn't the period where you're looking for a starter, and Ohio State, I don't think, really needs that. Again, outside of if there is a no-brainer, no doubt about it, surefire NFL caliber tackle.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only thing that you're really talking about. The rest is, you'd be hoping to catch lightning in a bottle with somebody who is veteran enough and played enough football that they wouldn't need a ton of time to get up to speed. A grad transfer, someone with 1 year left, someone who's played FBS football, and then is willing to be a backup, because there's not a sales pitch here for Ohio State to tell somebody they can come be a starter in this transfer portal window.
No, I don't I can't even think of where that would be.
Yeah.
Other than on the offensive line, and like, we'll see what they do. And if they don't do anything, I guess that I think fairly probably opens them up for some criticism about not doing it in the first window when there certainly were talented offensive linemen available, and they definitely like kicked the tires on some. Right. There's the kid from A&M who they recruited. His name is escaping me. I can't remember. Broom, who was the kid from New Jersey? The A&M lineman. The A&M offensive lineman from New Jersey. Never mind.
I'll get it.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Anyway, he had to go back to A&M, I think, for some NIL tomfoolery.
The A&M kid that they looked at tackling.
Chase Besantis.
There it is. There you go. Sorry for the delay, folks.
We produce a show live here, folks. but, like, they were clearly looking at guys like that, and I maybe could have taken bigger swings if they wanted to. I understand also wanting to – I think it was a different situation than last spring. It's like – Luke Montgomery, highly recruited player. Tegra Tshabola, you know, like top 150 kind of recruit 3 years into his career now. Like, you want to give those guys an opportunity to show what they can do. And they have, and it doesn't seem like Ryan Day is, like, enamored with what they saw this spring. But I also don't know that he's as concerned as he was maybe coming out of last spring either. So I don't know how great the urgency is there. I think it would have to be, to your point, like a slam dunk, like, of course you take this guy kind of thing. But, again, that guy at the moment is not in the portal.
Yeah, And I think now we could say that Ohio State would do that, not just because there could be a perceived need on the staff to bring in an offensive lineman, but if another Caleb Downs went in the portal, I think Ohio State would be willing to get involved in late April and May in a way that they weren't in years past. The swings that they took already this offseason with Will Howard, with Quinshon Judkins, with Caleb Downs, with Seth McLaughlin, that tells you that they are not opposed to doing that. They have tweaked the approach.
They have.
So, you know, that's the thing. Are there going to be a ton of superstars going into the portal in late April? I mean, my guess is probably not, even though this world is far different than even at this time a year ago, with guys willing to test the waters and seeing what NIL is out there. Like, there's very little downside to them. I get that. So maybe I'll be proven incorrect. But if that does happen, like, Ohio State has the resources and the desire to be involved if they feel the need. It's just, especially on defense, they already have the best defense in the country. It's like,
yeah. I don't even think you look at that side of the ball. But it'll be interesting. Like, I don't know what to expect in this transfer window. Like, I know a lot of people are saying, like, this will be the craziest thing we've ever seen. And I understand why, because, one, I think players just naturally will get more aggressive, like, kind of betting on themselves as this progresses. And two, like, collectives can now negotiate with players, like, on behalf of schools and not worry about anything. And also, there's no transfer limitation. So, like, it could get pretty wild. So, like, I'm not going to say, like, you know, some team that has championship aspirations might have, like, a really good left tackle decide he wants to jump into the portal, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if that happens. But aside from that, like, I just don't know, like, a Caleb Downs type at any other position, I don't know necessarily makes any sense for Ohio State, but it certainly does on the offensive line. I was looking here, again, I'm not being rude. I keep a list of roster numbers on my phone, and what I believe to be Ohio State's desired number of players at each position based on what Ryan Day has said previously, just to, like, see where they're light, like, I think they would like 11 receivers. They currently have 9, but I also don't have Reese Stocksdale in there, so, like, that's they would probably say they have 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, technically a little light, but I don't think they would look to add there. And then safety, I think they want 10, and at the moment they have 8. And I wouldn't be terribly surprised if there's movement out of that room. So maybe that's a spot where they could look to add some depth if the situation makes sense.
They've already had so much of it at safety. It's,
yeah,
like, how much more can you withstand? But, yeah, I'm going to bring it up again. Like, that Hinkie Jones can play football, man.
Yeah, like, no, they got walk. Like, that's the thing about Ohio State, too. It's like, I know people don't want to hear, like, walk-ons can play. Like, or maybe some people don't, but, like, there's some real dudes on Ohio State's walk-on roster. You could probably be scholarship players at a lot of other places.
It wasn't like this guy made one play in a scrimmage, and I'm like, enamored with one thing I saw. Every time I was out there, he did something.
Yeah, well, I remember the first day of spring, he made like four plays, and I was like, I kept having to go to my roster, like, who is this person? Yeah. I thought like Caleb Downs was wearing a different number or something. That's how good this kid was playing on the first day of spring.
Yeah. So, who knows? Maybe that, as Berman said with TC Caffey, maybe the walk on is you already have the built in option there to sustain that depth and build it, enhance it as you go along with just adding a scholarship to somebody who's been in the building as part of the Brotherhood already. Who knows? We'll see what transpires over the next couple weeks. It'll be wild. How wild will it be for Ohio State? Well, that's a little thing we'll have to stay tuned to find out on the podcast for. So thanks for joining us as we start portal season on a Transfer Tuesday edition of the Podcast Daily. He's Bill Landis. I am Austin Ward. I'm sure we'll be back again to talk to you soon. See ya.